Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का कितने नाजों से पाला था हमने हर तरह से संभाला था हमने हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है घर की यादों में वो खो रही है आज बाबुल करो पूछो और माँ का तरपना न पूछो आज बाबुल करो न पूछो और माँ का तरपना न पूछो घर से डोला चला लादनी का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का प्यारी प्यारी वो गुड़िया भी छूटी प्यारी प्यारी वो गुड़िया भी छूटी हाय बचपन की सखियां भी छूटी सुना सुना हुआ घर का आंगन ले ले गया ले
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم 4 minutes after 11 Central African time It's a beautiful mashallah Tuesday morning I see it's a bit overcast here in the land of Asia My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia On this beautiful mashallah Tuesday morning And it is the 16th of Sha'ban 1442 which is also the 30th of March 2021. I see we have, mashallah, Hazrat Allamatul Mulana Zahid, who's sitting with me in front here, looking at me, smiling, subhanallah. I want to welcome the beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company. And I want to welcome the beautiful beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Let's welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface. Remember, 084-786-3132 International overseas listeners +27 84 786 3132 Let's welcome our beloved Ustad into the program. Ustad, welcome to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
We've got a teacher here, Ustad, who says that, dear Mufti Sahab, this is teacher Yaqub. What are the general lessons that Allah wants us to learn from a divorce as marriage is a great act of worship? And Sunnah, Ustad, teacher Yaqub.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, always we should start on the positive. And that is nikah. Nikah is such an institution in this world. Ordinary mortals like us, Maulana Arafat, Maulana Zahid, myself, we will perform and solemnize the nikah, the marriage ceremony. in chapter 44, verse 54, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us, وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينَ, that tomorrow on the day of justice, on the day of judgment, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will solemnize the nikah and the marriage ceremony for those men who are entering paradise with the beautiful damsels and women of Jannah and Jannatul Firdaus. So the institution of nikah is so sacred, it will continue into the year after as well. So that's point number one. Point number two, I always say, when things work out, then marriage is a bed of roses. And if things don't work out, Allah forbid, then it becomes a bed of thorns. And then it becomes a minor form of Jahannam, and a mini Jahannam and mini hellfire here on this earth. And you see how the people behave. So in Islam, all parties, the husband, the wife, the in-laws, everyone should try and reconcile. وَالسُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ, reconciliation is the best. But Islam is a religion for all times, all places, all circumstances. Sometimes you can't just tolerate it, you can't reconcile. Then Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, which is authentic in Abu Dawood, أَبَغَدُ الْحَلَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ, the most hated and detested thing which Almighty Allah made permissible is talaq, is divorce. Therefore, it should always be the last resort and not the first option as is happening nowadays. So which lessons are we going to learn from here? Remember that selection of spouse. Why did you choose that lady to be your wife? You will see there already we may do make the wrong decision. We got married to her. Why? لِمَالِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا. We made her wealth priority number one. We made her jamal, her beauty priority number one. So jaisi niyat waisi barakat. As the intention motive is, that is the result you will see. And now that marriage does not last long because your intention itself was so tainted, polluted. And therefore in Musnad Ahmad is mentioned, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you marry the lady for her wealth and that is your primary objective, فَإِنَّمَا ذَلَّهُ اللَّهُ, Almighty Allah will humiliate and disgrace that person there. And see how it happens nowadays, we can see that. Another lesson we must learn, remember, is when divorce takes place, then many a time, or most of the time, people tend to do things to spite the other party. The mother now will go and take the children and change their surname to her maiden surname. Do you know what you are doing, oh my sister? You are telling the world that those masoom children, those innocent children of yours are all bees and all illegitimate children. In Islam, the only time that the lineage will go to the mother is when the child is illegitimate. So see, just to spite your husband, what you want to do, which is totally haram, and the harm you cause into your own children. Next one, when you, the father, have custody or visitation rights over the children, then you start poisoning the mind of the innocent children. Your mother did this, your mother did that, your mother did this. And similarly, the mother will also poison the mind against the father. So the problem was between the two of you. So why go and cause more harm now by poisoning the mind of the innocent masoom children? So that also is unbecoming. Quran Kareem teaches us, وَإِيَّتَ فَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّا مِّن سَعَتِي. When both parties, now you are separated, divorce has taken place, you carry on with your life, don't poke your nose in his life, what he's doing, what his mother is doing, and so forth. So Allah will make both of you independent, you can remarry, he remarries, and whatever you. Similarly, you the husband, you also must not go and poke your nose in her business and so forth, that if she gets a proposal, you heard about it, her iddat is expired, you start telling that person that what a terrible, horrible woman she is and so forth and so on. So all this does not behove a Muslim person. So these are the main lessons, remember. And if you want to be honest, remember 90% of the time, it's not the husband that is wrong, it's not the wife that is wrong, both parties are in the wrong, 90% of the time. So you must remember, once you start from there, yes, I am to blame, and she must say, I am to blame, that will make you a better person, and in that way, you will become a better husband. When you settle for the future, you will become a better wife when you resettle. So these are the lessons that we should try and learn, inshallah.
Subhanallah, Ustaz, subhanallah. I see teacher Yaqub is inviting Mufti Saab, maybe for the workshop this coming Saturday, Ustaz, the marriage workshop. Is Mufti Saab available, teacher Yaqub?
So, my brother, we're not available. You know, they say that this is Easter weekend. So I told somebody, I just landed yesterday. Oh, yes, the youngster who picked me up for Isha Salat. Mm-hmm. I told him, pick me up because Salat is 7:45 and 8 o'clock. I must be back in the studio. And then because of the Q&A, and then I'll read my sunnahs here, and then 8:05 or so we'll start. So I asked him, the youngster, that are you going out this weekend? He said, no. So I said, best thing, you must never go anywhere this long weekend, Easter weekend, because they call it Good Friday. But the people who are supposed to be celebrating Easter, majority of them or many of them are drunkies, you know, totally drunk. Wine, dine and swine. You must remember all this. That is the new culture, the new religion. So therefore, it's best quietly, you just sit at home. Jazakallah khairan, brother Yaqub. I don't know you. I don't know where your workshop is and what have you. But anyway, you want any advices, you pose your questions here on the Bliss of Marriage, or you send me a WhatsApp 071-888-1184. And don't make long, long stories. I don't like long stories. Khairul kalama qalla wa dalla. That brevity is the essence of speech. Keep it short and brief, inshallah.
Ustad, advise me if there is a dua I can read for a baby girl. Allah has blessed us with a son, and I have been told that there is a dua to read for a girl. Please remember us in your du'as. From Roshni, Ustad.
MashaAllah, Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, in chapter 42, Surah to Shura, verses 49 and for verse 50, that Almighty Allah speaks of this, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ. Sometimes Almighty Allah only grants them daughters. Sometimes Almighty Allah only blesses them with sons. Sometimes, oh, يُزَوِّجُ whom the Quran over Inatha, Almighty Allah blesses them with sons and daughters. Where I was born in Heidelberg, lo and behold, we were three Muslim families, our house and our shop, and then my neighbors, their shop was not there, but their houses were there. One was the Baba family, one was the Timol family. So the Baba family had two daughters, no sons. And the Timol family had five daughters and no sons. So they all used to fight to play with me. So I say, I don't play with girls, you know. So you must, because we're young, so at that time you got a lot of stories, you know. So all these type of things here. So you must remember, I go play with the boys and soccer and whatever else we're playing. So while we were growing up, I'm speaking. So this is Kudrat Ka Karishma here, the manifestation of the mercy of Almighty Allah. So read that verse abundantly. Chapter 42, Surah to Shura, verses 49 and 50, and yeah, Almighty Allah has mentioned يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. Therefore, if your first child is a daughter, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَّمَ الْإِنَاثَ عَلَى الذُّكُورِ, Almighty Allah has mentioned females first, then the male. So that means Allah's special mercy is on that family whose first child is a baby girl, and Almighty Allah has mentioned daughters first. prayers. So read that. Second one, make abundant istighfar. Day and night, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And when you make istighfar, make the intention, Ya Allah. In chapter 71, verses 9, 10 and 11, you promised about children, so bless me with daughters, Ya Allah. Yursili sama alaykum midrara, wa yumdidukum bi amwali wa baneen. So Allah will increase your wealth, Allah will send the beneficial rain, Allah will bless you with children. In the verse, baneen, sons are mentioned, but you make intention of daughters, so inshallah, Allah Jalla wala will bless you with a daughter. Similarly, you read chapter 37, verse 100, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us pious offspring and children. And you say, Ya Allah, grant me a daughter. Don't just stop there. Say, if there is khair and goodness in that. We don't know. Many a time you have a daughter and she brings so many problems in your life. They go on to drugs, run away with a boyfriend and so forth. Allah forbid. So always add the word, if there is khair in it, Ya Allah, goodness in it, then bless us and grant us a daughter. So that is what you should do, inshallah.
Woodbank says that my daughter is 16 years old, dear Mufti Saab, and wants to get married. But she hasn't seen life yet, Ustad. Should I allow her, Ustad?
Remember that personally, I don't think is a good idea, because you must remember our Indian daughters, especially our Indian girls, normally in South Africa and many other countries, when they are 15, 16 and so forth, you must remember that they are what we will say in Meman, Gujarati, Urdu, all our vernacular languages, we will say they nadan. They are very, very naive. You as the father, I don't know you, I don't know your wife, but you as parents, 90%, 80% of the time have brought your daughters up and children up, sons as well, but particularly daughters in the lap of luxury. They don't know. You must remember what happens if the husband loses his cool, becomes angry and so forth and so on. They only looking at, you know, that I will leave my parental home. Father say do this, mother say do this, I'll go for honeymoon, I'll do this with my husband and so forth. Can she run her home? You as parents, I ask you these questions. You get her married now before Ramadan. Can she make samosas? Can she make rotis? Can she look after a house? 90% the answer is no. You tell her make a roti, she'll make a square roti. You tell her to make samosas, she'll make square samosas. So you must remember, you the parents are to blame that you have not prepared your daughters and your sons that for marital life and so forth. So a hungry man is an angry man. She gets married. I'm just using this as a case study. So just as example. So anyway, when she get married, now the hungry man comes home and the food is not ready or is not cooked properly and so forth. Yeah, the first argument will start. The husband will raise his voice and so forth, which she is not used to. Quietly, then she will phone a parent, send a SMS, WhatsApp and what have you. This husband, yeah, is a short fuse. He got a terrible temper and so forth and so on. And today's parents also, they don't have much common sense, you know. Common sense is no more common, you know. So they won't listen to the son-in-law side. They will say, no, that better you pack your bag up and then we take you home. So imagine how many a time we doing these programs for 20 years with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah, that instead of making the home, we went to break the home. So many times the home could be saved, but because of our pride, our arrogance, and our, you know, being so chilbaz, that we want to take quick decisions and on the hasty decisions, so you find that the marriage broke. So therefore, my advice, that tell her no, that rather She don't have to go to school. She don't have to go to madrasa, nothing. And she must stay at home and learn what they used to call in those days. Now they will have some fancy name called domestic sciences. You must know how to run a home. And then you speak not dialders. From the house, you must know everything. Not what happens long weekend, the maid is not there. They'll say, no, we can't cook this weekend, there's no maid. So now who's going to wash the dishes? Who's going to do the ironing? Who will do the washing of the clothing? Who will do this? Best thing is we go eat outside. That is not Islamic life there. That is shaitani life that is. Remember that. So we must be the one that we are responsible for nurturing our children, and they must be ready for matrimonial life and married life as well. That is what Islam teaches us.
The question says, Ustad, that I have never washed dishes in my life. I'm spoilt like a rotten cabbage. But my mommy tells this to every boy who comes to see me for proposals, dear Mufti Sahab. They never return. So what if I never washed any dishes? Does this make me a paraplegic from Mayfair, Ustad?
You know the questions that come in here, Moana Arafat asks, I don't know. I didn't know that now this question will come in. I just gave the example. Can you iron a dress or a trouser or a kurta? Can you wash dishes and so forth? Mm. And here the question comes, now who's to blame? So when your mother is telling them, my daughter is on the lap of luxury and she can't even wash dishes and that, and maybe I think she can't make a cup of tea properly. So who will want to marry such a woman? It's not a case of being paraplegic, but it's a case of you wasting your time with your cell phone and your movies and your Hollywood, Bollywood and Robin Hood. So that is the big problem there. So you will not become a good mother then. You will not become a good wife, because now your aim in life is just materialism. Shopping, number one, I'm in the first surf. Running around, number the first surf. Let's do the work in the last surf. You see? So how are things going to work? So see that when we went to Pakistan, myself, my wife, you must remember, there's no question of maid and all these things. I'm a student. Never mind that we never had fridge, we never had stove, we never had, we had two cups, two saucers, two plates, everything, two. If visitors had to come, they had to wait. Like if four came, so two would drink. When they finished, another two will drink. It was like that. Haji Bhai Padia and them, they came there. Rahimahullah, Haji Abu Arbi, there were four of them. So he saw, Bhai Padia was very sharp. He saw that there was only two cups, two saucers, and that. So he told me, how are you living here? You must live like that in South Africa. I said, inshallah. Mm. Who will live like that? So you must know. So remember, then she used to cook the first 3 months for me. That with the primers, you know, primer stove. You put with that she used to cook. So that's why you build in your marriage. But today, before we give our daughter, I must have washing machine, I must have micro, I must have the dishwasher, I must have this gadget, that gadget, that gadget. So what? So you got everything, but still you want 2-3 maids. Now you tell me, how is that justified? So we must remember, we have to prepare. So you, my daughter, my sister, if you know what is good for you, from today you start washing the dishes, you start learning how to iron, you start learning how to cook everything. Your husband is not interested in your degrees. I tell my daughter, my nieces, all of them, my family, your husband is not interested in how many hadith you know of Bukhari Sharif and so forth. He's interested how can you run a home? So that is the priority we must remember. So what has happened to us? We went for all the degrees, but the decree of Almighty Allah, which is the woman must become the queen of the home, so that we have neglected because we feel that is old fashioned and is not for me. I'm a very special lady. So that is our pride and arrogance, and therefore you find the divorce rate spiraling out of control.
Allahu Akbar. I see a message just came in now, Ustad, from Lady Smart. I just received this. He says, anonymous mommy, Ustad, dear Mufti Sahab, I need parental advice. Everybody speaks bad about the boy who is interested in our daughter, but his family members and I think he's an angel, Ustad. We're talking of my daughter's future here, remember. How will we choose? My daughter is only 33 years old. Anonymous mommy, ladies matustada.
If your daughter is only, to use your word, 33 years old, so you must get her married. I don't know, was she divorced or was the, she's your widow? Did her husband pass away or is she was never married or what have you? So that you will know better. Now let's come, you must remember to the boy. So if people are telling you that the boy is not good and
never
so
forth,
never married, fine. So we got that portion sorted out. So now let's come to the second part, and that is the boy side. So people are telling you bad references and so forth. So why are they telling you? So go do some homework. Is he involved in drugs? Is he involved in womanizing? Does he read his 5 times salat? I also will tell you, if he doesn't read 5 times salat, he's bad news. So you need to ask him, where do you read your salat? You say that he's, you are in Ladysmith. We don't know the boy is from Ladysmith or from Newcastle or Dundee or Hammanskraal or wherever. So you must remember, you contact the ulama of that town or city. Do you know this person? Does he read salat and so forth and so on? So who are his friends and so forth? What is his income? If your daughter is 33, what is his age? So you must remember, Quran Kareem states, Uruban Atraba. Every word, every verse in the noble Quran, you must remember, it gives us some ishara, some sign, some indication. Atraba, that is not good, it's not compulsory, but it's advisable, desirable. When I get married, then my wife is there, then we are about the same age and so forth. We were playing in the turab together. Together don't mean physically together. We used to build our castles on the sand, so you must remember that. So that, so if you're going to get the guy who's 20 years old, 22 years old, and she's 33, so you must remember the nikah is valid. You happy, she's happy, but is that desirable? So you must remember, that's the thing. You need to have unity of thought in marriage, you must remember. And if you get another old man, 50 years old, he's going to get married to your daughter at the age of 55, he'll be tired and retired already. So you must remember this type of thing. So all these are factors that you must look at. Not because your daughter is 33 and just get married to any Tom, Dick and Harry and so forth. So no, it is your daughter's future. So these are the things that you need to find. Another important aspect. And today it is nothing. I tell my own sisters, my own family members and all of them. Somebody come, they all married now, their children and what have you. But now we're busy with the second, you know, second, third generation. So if proposal come, make it very clear that we want a separate home for our daughter, our niece, our granddaughter, whatever it is. Because once daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, you all start fighting, then remember, even on Laylatul Bara'a, on Laylatul Nisfi min Shaban, and they just passed now 15th night of Shaban, and Laylatul Qadr also, the night of majesty and destiny, you will say Kali Kali from the tip of your tongue, Maaf Maaf. Next day they'll start fighting again. So you must remember that to keep the respect, to keep the muhabbat, best is you keep them separate, and you will see in this day, and this age, yesterday somebody sent me a nice saying, a message from a mother. I had 4 sons and we all used to stay in one house. Then they all got married and none of them have place for me in their house. See? So that is Zamana today. They'll take their own mother and put outside. So you must remember, many a time, we don't say all, but remember that we must inculcate that, that rather you live separate and there'll be more muhabbat and more love, and that is what you want. You don't want to come home, your mother is crying, your wife is crying, you're torn between loyalties. Who do you listen to? It's the habit of human being and women and men also, and women also, that they all will add some masala and some spice as well. So you will know, that will be a horrible decision for you to make daily, weekly, that sometime weekly you will have to make decision in favor of your mother, sometime in favor of your wife. So we don't want that. So to prevent all that, we say from the start, just live separately, even if it is just a flat or an outbuilding, and you will live peacefully like that.
I see anonymous mommy says, can we message Mubtab the boy's name? He's from Falsworth, so maybe Mubtab can do some research. Ustad.
So I don't get involved in those things. Yeah, you must remember that. So there in Folkers, mashallah, there is the Gangad family, I know them. The Jedward family are there. And you must remember the Mullah family are there. I was 20 years in Newcastle. So we used to go once a month, once in 2 months or so, 3 months, to Folkers, mashallah. And the border is there from Heidelberg, I used to go. And then you pass Folkers and then Charlestown. So that is now the border, Transvaal Natal border in those days. So nevertheless, you must remember that you make istikhara. Read with me now. And the hadith in Tirmidhi, Allahumma khir li khara khire. Allahumma khir li. Oh beloved Allah, you select the best for me. Wakhtar li, and you choose for me. So remember, you read that, you feel happy, you feel positive, so make bismillah. And if you feel negative, then you decline it. So read 2-3 times, Allahumma khir li wakhtar li. And make it, Folkers is 2x2 town as it is, you must remember that. So in 1 hour you will be able to ascertain, get the references of the boy and so forth, and inshallah then you as a family make decision. And you, the daughter, my message to you will be that you only get married if your parents are happy about it. Leave the home with their blessings. In the good old days, nowadays you can't, you know, nowadays all different. So you must remember, in the good old days, the father mother who tell their daughter, oh Betty, oh beloved daughter, we're getting you married. So now you're going to that town, you will live there with your husband and so forth and so on. So make sure that your janaza also comes out from that house and from that town there. Mm. Today if the parents have to say that, they'll make yeah, they'll say that what you know who's going to die first. They'll debate the point and everything. But the advice was golden advice, meaning you must save your marriage and live with your husband and don't say you want to come back home and so forth. So these were the golden advices. The parents who didn't know about emails and computers and all these gadgets 40, 50, 60 years ago, but they had much more common sense than today. Remember that.
Now let's pray to start. Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti Sahab. What is the status of two men who have done nikah with Shia woman, Ustad? Have they become murtads? Mufti Sahab, the reason I wanted to ask this question was because I specifically want your opinion on this issue from Nelspreet Ustad.
Here there are 3-4 different questions. Question number one is, are Shias Muslim or non-Muslim? When a person knows about Shiaism and he agrees with them, that they say in the Quran Sharif, there are 17,000 verses, and that is mentioned in Usulul Kafi, they are most authentic book of the Shias by Kulaini, and our Quran Sharif, of which we read, which we are Hafiz, with the help and mercy of all Almighty Allah, comprises 114 surahs and chapters, 6,236 verses. So that's one point. Second point, if they are cursing and swearing the Sahaba, which majority of the Shias do, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Siddiqa, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu anha, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anha, then 100% they're out of the fold of Islam. Third one, they reject 95% of the ahadith. Our ahadith in Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Musnad, Ahmad, Mu'tamar, Malik, and so they reject it. The only time they will accept it when it suits their agenda. Wa Fatima to Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha is the leader of the women in Jannah. Wal Hassan wal Hussein Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah. All these are authentic hadiths mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. So Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyida Hussein radiallahu anhu are the leaders of the youth in Jannah. So that is how selective quoting, but 90% they reject. So when they're rejecting our Quran, they're rejecting our ahadith, they reject 90% of the Sahaba, and they say they became murtad and apostates. So 100% they themselves are kuffar and non-Muslims and so forth. I give you one easy example. I went to Iran in 2013. I haven't found one issue where we the Ahlu Sunnah and where the Shia agree. Our wudu is different. Our adhan is different. Our kalima is different. Our salat is different. Our fasting is different. So much so, husband-wife relationship is different. The kuffar Shia la'anahumullah. And don't come tell me it's not permissible. I have the Shia books. And clearly they write there. They write there to sodomize your wife. That also is permissible. La'anahumullah. Khomeini the kafir la'anahullah writes in Tawdihul Masail, which they gave me, that you can make a nikah, what they call nikah, mut'a, prostitution for 1 hour. Which person in his right mind will allow his daughter to have an affair for 1 hour and then she comes back and he just pays her a certain amount? So that is what the Shia kuffar do. You must remember they promote prostitution in the name of muta and tawdihu. I challenge any Shia to say I'm quoting wrong. The book they gave me, we didn't have to go and look for these books here. So you must remember these things here. Now we come to your situation. You are the person, your name is Abdullah, your name is Abdul Qadir, whatever. You married the Shia lady. If you knew that this is their belief and you agree with it, then you yourself are also out of the fold of Islam, and every moment Allah Ta'ala's curse is on you. One is you're a simple Simon, you don't understand much of Islam. Her name was Fatima, the other one's name was, you know, Zainab or what have you. And now you got married to her and you don't know much about the Shias and thus and so forth. So remember that you must come out of that marriage unless that lady makes sincere tawbah, repents, and she must say that the Shias are kuffar and so forth and so on. And then you re-perform your nikah, make her a Sunni Muslimah, and then you repeat the nikah and so forth. And if they don't, but you have to be very careful, because the Shias have another terminology which they call taqiyya. Taqiyya is holy hypocrisy. In front of you, they will say, no, we love Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, and Aisha. And they'll tell you like that, Allah forbid. But deep down in the inner recesses of their heart, they are cursing them, Allah forbid. So therefore, brother, if you agree with them, then you're out of the fold of Islam. If you don't believe in these things here, then you're a Muslim, but you have to get rid of them immediately. Imagine you stay with them, they will make your children Shia. So what bigger dalil proof do you want than that? So you must understand the ramifications and the consequences. Yes, they make sincere tawbah. They have nothing at all to do with the Shias. They are even prepared to sever ties with their families or Shias and so forth. Then you marry her again. That first marriage is null and void. That's a different issue. Then, mashallah, things will work out. That is our advice regarding the issue.
And now, for instance, Ustad, they knew they were Shias, but of course, they thought they were going to convert after getting married to start. Now they don't want to.
Yeah, they don't want to. So finish, then you must just finish it up. And remember, if there's any children involved, then remember you must fight for the children's custody. Otherwise, they will make your children into Shia. Don't you use your brains. That what will happen is the mother has greater influence over the children. So therefore, you must act now, immediately.
17 minutes to 12 o'clock. You are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Mufti Sahab, I resent my husband. A lot. Resent. He is a two-faced liar. In front of me, he portrays one image to his family, another image. I would constantly wonder why his family would have issues with me. In the meantime, it was him, Mufti Sahab, that stirred everything, Ustad.
Remember that these are the people Almighty Allah Jalla Wala warned us about them right in the beginning. Study the Quran Sharif, Surah Fatiha, the opening chapter, 7 verses. Thereafter, you must remember, go to Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, Atwalu Suratin fil Quran al Kareem, the longest surah chapter in the Noble Quran, 286 verses. Look at the breakdown. The first 5 verses, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is speaking about the pious people and so forth. Verse number 6 and 7, So verses 6 and 7, Almighty Allah speaks about the non-Muslims. Openly, they will tell you they're non-Muslim. That is now till 7. From 8 to 20, 13 verses, Almighty Allah speaks about the munafiqeen. They have two faces. You must remember, when they come to the Muslims, inna ma'akum we with you. When they go with the non-Muslims, inna ma'akum we with you. So they have double agenda. And they want to play the game, you know. So this is nifaq and hypocrisy. So what your husband was trying to do, in front of you, oh darling, oh sweetheart, oh my poppy, take some purpose and all these type of things. But when he went to his family, he would tell them that this wife of mine is good for nothing and I made a mistake marrying her. I wish I had another wife. Words like that, there will be, that he may be worse also. So anyway, when a person does that, sooner or later, Almighty Allah exposes him. But now you are saying you resent him. That is the word you used. Now we have to change the negative into a positive. You are married 10-15 years. There's 1, 2, 3 children involved. We can't tell you to walk away from that. So now is the appropriate time. 15 Shaban just passed. Now we are preparing for Ramadan. So you tell him, Habi, see here, we have to start ta'aleem in our home. So you take Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Nawar Allah Marqadahu. So Hazrat Sheikh was the big Sheikh ul Hadith. He wrote Fadail Ramadan. And in that way, 5-10 minutes daily, and tell him, if you're going to continue with this double sword and double agenda of yours, Almighty Allah will disgrace you even more. Allah is giving you, us, me and you, a second chance. Come, we be honest to one another, bring the quality of taqwa when the nikah is performed. Every verse that is read before we ask the husband to be, to read, to say, nakahtua wa qabiltua, that I accept this lady in my nikah, in my marriage. We read verses from the noble Quran. Each one speaks of taqwa. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqoo rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqati. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. So it shows that each one of us must do that. Remember that, inculcate the quality of taqwa. Then that marriage, remember, will be a solid marriage with the help and mercy of Allah. What we have done, on a Friday we become buzruk, so-called pious people. Big night we become pious. Ramadan time comes, we become pious. And then long weekend comes, now this long weekend. Already people are preparing, let's go for the last date, for the last party, for the last bash, for the last jol. So you must remember that, you foreigners don't understand jol. So that is our South African lingo and our terminology, yeah. Let us do all the haram things, the wine, dine, swine, girlfriend, boyfriend, gay brigade. Then Ramadan time, we'll make tawbah. That is how shaitan works. Zayyana lahumu shaitanu a'malahum. The Satan, his cronies, his comrades, they embellish, they beautify, they adorn all the vices, and people fall straight in the trap of the Satan. So brothers and sisters, Islam is not a part-time business. Udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Enter into Islam in its entirety. We're not Muslim only big night and Jumu'ah and Ramadan. We're Muslim throughout our life. I give you one wonderful incident. Ramadan Mubarak is still 2 weeks away. If you go to Iraq, where Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah is buried, wulida bi Baghdad, wufiya bi Baghdad, we went to all these places. Imam Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah is his title. Next to him is Bishr Hafi, the sage of the age is buried there, Bishr rahimahullah. When people used to come to Bishr and tell him, oh Bishr, rahimahullah, Ramadan time, our masajid were full. And after Ramadan, Shawwal came, then the people remember, half of them are missing. What was his golden statement? Bi'sal qawm, la ya'arifuna Allah illa fi Ramadan. Horrible, terrible indeed are people who recognize and worship Allah only during Ramadan. See, the same Allah we worship during Ramadan is the same Allah we worship now. The same Salah that is compulsory, you must remember in Ramadan, is compulsory now. So you must remember the five daily Salah. So therefore, if you want that good marriage, then remember all these things you need to practice on. And then, inshallah, you will find happiness and so forth. Otherwise, there will always be big, big problems, remember that.
Well, Ustad, the brother from Indonesia, we know him quite well, anonymous brother, says that, what about the third wave that is coming? Where is Darul Iman now? Anonymous brother from Indonesia, Ustad.
So you must remember that. So what, Darul Iman took the guarantee that no waves must come. So you must remember this type of things here. So you must remember. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Good, bad, happy, sad, everything will come. So with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah. Life is a challenge. The first question you need to ask yourself, the first wave, second wave, call it whatever you want. To. I just come from Durban, many waves there, mashallah. Where we were staying, you could see a lot of waves. So, my brother, you must remember, is this a pandemic or is a plandemic? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing you have to ask yourself. So, you must remember, is it to create panic and fear in the world for the one world order? Is this already the plot and plan of Dajjal and his cronies? So, we need to look at things from the Islamic perspective, and therefore, we call those people the agents of Dajjal who close our masajid even before the government said so. So you must remember that. So therefore, we are begging everyone. Even now, you must remember, if you just look at the Christians and them, they are putting so much pressure on the government and saying they want 100% attendance in their churches. So that is what we, the Muslims, should be demanding. But the Muslim today, South Africa, other parts of the world, you must remember, so I know of masajid in South Africa, closed for 13 months. Already from last year, beginning of March till now, end of March, you must remember 13 months closed the masjid. So how do you expect the mercy of Allah? The masjid is the super spreader of Allah's mercy. Before we enter the masjid, we say, Allahumma ftahli abwaba rahmatik. Ya Allah, open your doors of mercy. But today's Muslim, Dajjal's awlad, you can call them, you must remember that agents of Dajjal, they will be closing the masjid and keeping it closed. So remember, so you don't have to worry about second wave, third wave. We have to worry of our deeds and our actions and so forth and so on. Then Allah's help will come. In tansurullah yansurkum. That, remember that. If you help the deen of Allah, Allah will assist you and help you. Wa yuthabbit aqdamakum, and Almighty Allah will keep your feet firm. Darul Iman with the E. Remember that always. So alhamdulillah, more and more people are joining, male, female, South Africans, foreigners. We say ahlan wa sahlan. If Allah forbid, conditional clause. If you must remember, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, again all the masajid are closed, then we will go to court inshallah, because remember, we don't break laws. We will work within the framework of the law and say, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa usaha. Ya Allah, we tried our level best to keep your masajid, annal masajid alillah. Your masajid belongs only to Allah. Open, Ya Allah. But we have these agents of Dajjal who have closed the masajid. So if the non-Muslim does it, the governments and so forth, so that is their law. But what about the Muslim? So what about the Maulvis and Ulama? So that is what we should. That is the worst wave, my brother. When our Iman is put to question, have we really got Iman? So that is the thing you should worry about.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. Ustaz, you remember that question that came in last week, where it says, both me and my husband's second wife are expecting on the same day. Who should my husband go to? Because we are both booked at a different hospital, but he married me first. And the question came in that Mufti Sahib, tomorrow most probably they will be giving birth, both of them, both of the wives who start, make dua.
So it won't be 1st April. So you must remember that Awwalu Nisan. In Arabic, 1st April, you say Awwalu Nisan. You know, the April Fool jokes and so forth. Mm-hmm. Leave that, is not part of Islam. So mashallah, so both of you going to give birth. So you, the husband, what should you be doing today? You should be reading extra salat, my brother. After Zohar, after Asr, after Maghrib, after Isha. So after Zohar, read 2 rakat extra. After Maghrib, 2 rakat. After Isha, and then read Rabbi Habali Minas Salihin. Oh beloved Allah, grant me pious children. So that the husband and the wife's job. Second one, you are both in your last stages as far as the pregnancy goes now. So you should be, both of you, the wives, one in ABC hospital, one in XYZ clinic, whatever you. So both of you should be reading chapter 21, verse 30. Chapter 21, Surah Anbiya, the Messengers, and verse 33. In the 17th Juz, 17th Supara, أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا. Don't you see the cosmos, the universe, the creation, Almighty Allah created, the heavens and the earth were stuck together. You and your fetus, you and your unborn baby, you are stuck together. Now so many things will go through your mind and heart, that what will happen? Will it be a normal birth? Will it be a normal baby? Will there be complications? All that will come. So you read Surah chapter 21 verse 30. فَفَتَّقَنَا Huma, Almighty Allah separated the heavens and the earth easily with His mercy, with His power. Absolute power belongs solely, only, exclusively to Almighty Allah. So everything will go easy. You give the nurses some the charity. Your husband, you give some charity, Muslim, non-Muslim, voluntary charity, sadaqah. And remember, all of you should be praying and so forth. We remember that question very well, and I even made the story of my uncle, 4 of them, so that my uncle and his brothers, all of them were 1st April. So I told him that your father was a sharpshooter. So he said, what sharpshooter? They didn't know which day they were born. When they went for registration, they say, you're all fools. So they made 1st April. Whole lot, they made them 1st April like that and so forth. So inshallah, everything will go well. Remain positive. Whenever negativity comes, you was wisufi sudur in nas. When the negative thoughts come, read Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Nas, and read A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allah Jalla wa La will make everything go smooth, inshallah.
Student of Deen Ustad Azadvil says, dear Mufti Sahab, I laugh and I smile a lot, but deep inside me I am broken into pieces. I am shattered. Only married for 2.5 years. My husband speaks to all this, his lady friends at work, and doesn't speak much to me when he gets home. Can I apply for a job at his company? Because I feel lonely without him. I should have just listened to my dad. Student of Deen, Ustad.
There's a contradiction in your question, my sister. One side you say student of Deen. On the other side you say you never listened to your father. Now how you reconcile these two statements? If you're a student of Deen, you know la nikaha illa bi waliyin. You know wa qadha rabbuka alla ta'budu illa iyyahu wa bil walidayni ihsana. You know the rank of father and mother and parents and so forth. Nevertheless, the damage is done. You married 2-3 years. Now we have to turn the negative into a positive. You say you are a student of Deen. So you take your Riyadu Salihin. You take Fadail Ramadan, Allama Nawawi's work, Riyadu Salihin. Maybe you studied it already. And Fadail Amal, the Ramadan one. So start that environment in your house. You have to give your husband something better. He is there for you to go and work this. All haram. So you must remember, you will have to wear a different coat of dress. You will have to go and miss salat, and so Allah forbid. You will have to speak to 101 men and so forth. So leave all that satanic thoughts there. So you must stay at home, cry to Allah, and change the way of thinking and behavior of your husband. You married 2.5-3 3 years. Maybe there's an innocent child and baby involved as well. So inshallah, now the big days, great days, auspicious month of Ramadan is coming. So never become disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. Chapter 39, verse 53, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never become disillusioned, disappointed in the mercy of Allah. Last question.
Hatima says, ignorant Mufti Sahab just sent me a message. I got this message from Haji Abu Yusuf. And she says that, dear Mufti Sahab, please pray for my wonderful daughter. I gave her pure, and now her husband is just abusing my wonderful child. Mrs. Adrian, what to do? Said, Ustad, said.
We warned you, Mrs. Adrian, and your daughter. You listening to us for the past 2-3 years, I think, with the mercy and grace of Almighty Allah. And I told you all the pitfalls and so forth. So I don't know. I know from your last time, there was a problem, problem regarding the race and so forth. I think that he is white.
Correct.
You know what we will say. And you, I always thought that you also belong to the white population and community. But anyway, for us, it doesn't make a difference. But I think that you are Indian as well. So anyway, so now he's playing the race card as well. So that was a bad move on behalf of your daughter and yourself and so forth. So what you should do is this. If you feel that, you know, your daughter is going through so much trauma and difficulty, I mean, you don't belong to the Islamic faith, but I want to give you the Islamic faith, you know, solutions. So the aim will be to make the home still. So how are you going to make the home? So you tell your son-in-law, you tell your daughter, let's have a cooling off period for 1 week, 1 month and so forth. Let both of us see, can this marriage work? And then you have certain conditions, then on those conditions she will go back to her matrimonial home. And then if the both parties are sincere, then Almighty Allah will help them. So that is what I'll advise you. I don't advise you to go now to the police or to get outside help and so forth. I think both of them may be naive or whatever. Maybe he's an outright racist. I don't know. But that's what seems to be coming through from your side. So in a case like that, they'd rather have a cooling off period. We say in Arabic, you must remember that, you know in English you say that absence make the heart grow fonder. Zurghib in Arabic is the same thing, which means that inshallah once they separate, it will enhance the love. Okay, quickly let me give you the rundown inshallah of our programs. 12 o'clock is the news headlines with Brother Yusuf Ali, and thereafter we will have a program by Norman Finkelstein regarding the Arab-Israeli conflict and the involvement of Kushner. You know Kushner, the son-in-law of Trump. So Kushner, they pushed him out now. He's no more in the scene. But anyway, good insight from Brother Norman Finkelstein. Then 1 o'clock Zohar Azan, 1:05 to 1:30, Surah Furqan, chapter 25, verses 7 to 15. 1:30 to 2, Surah An'am, verses 42 to 45. Then 2 to 3, our Brother Alamin Templeton, inshallah, with the political news and views. Then 3 to 3:30, 3:35, inshallah, this morning's Q&A, the repeat. And then 3:35 to 5:30, Alamin Templeton with the economic news and views. So inshallah, that is our lineup. Make dua for us and the ummah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved senior respected honorable Fadilatul Ustad. Up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran ya Rabbi. Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.